Welcome to the second Cross Conference Collector Podcast. It was recorded March 13th, 2010. In this episode, we discuss the results of the Algarve Cup and Cyprus Cup, the roster for the U.S. Games versus Mexico, the WPS preseason, and we give out our first ever WPS Tweeter Award. Once again, I'd like to apologize for my side of the audio. I recorded in a different coffee shop this time. However, I mistimed the recording and had to sit next to the ice machine. I'm sorry on very many levels.
Hi, I'm Joan.
I'm Ruth.
And we're back for the month of March for our podcast. It's so good to not see all of you, but to talk to all of you, to our tens of subscribers.
Oh, are we up to that many now?
I did see that. I think that's a mistake, though. Like, how are we getting a subscriber every day?
Maybe they're holding them and releasing one a day.
So since we last talked, the Algarve Cup has completed and the U.S. won. There was a small discussion about Carly Lloyd, and she managed to score in the final, which is fabulous. I don't think I'm wrong yet. But it's great. It's good to see that she's doing something that you can write down on a piece of paper that has a number and that other people can see and talk about. Any of those things are good. All of them, even better.
As long as it's not for Chicago.
No. If she did things that you could write about for Chicago, we wouldn't have let her go. And then Lauren Cheney had a breakout tournament it was really good for her. And as someone who's been kind of hard on UCLA players in terms of what they do after they leave UCLA, I mean, it's good to see. Your thoughts on that?
I feel like you're baiting me.
No, I'm sorry. I know, but it's the way I feel. It's the way I feel.
I know that's the way you feel.
And it's right, but, you know, whatever. Aside from that.
Well, I don't know. Because I follow UCLA, but I don't, I try not to pay too much attention to, because they're worse than Santa Clara so far as breaking hearts. Because Santa Clara breaks hearts during the season, with injuries and such. UCLA likes to string you along until the semifinal or the final, and then they'll crush you and their players. And it's so sad to see.
But the Cheney thing, though, are you happy about that?
Actually, yeah, I guess I'm happy for Cheney, and I hope that carries over to success in the league, although not necessarily success for Boston, because I don't root for Boston. I think there are other UCLA players in the league that can also manage to find success that their predecessors didn't. I had hopes for Jill Oakes, and she's on maternity leave. And I still have hopes for Christina DiMartino, and we'll see if St. Louis keeps her, or if they cut her and someone else picks her up. This is off topic of Algarve, so did you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
About Cheney? No, it's good, though. I mean, from what little I saw and what little I could gather from the reports, that she missed some pretty easy goals as well. So maybe that's something sharp.
We could blame the weather.
Oh, yeah. The awful, awful pitch. I could see that. And I heard about that, which brings us to the topic of the media problems that they had there. At the beginning, live updates were
not live.
Not live. Not really there. And then there were some concerns. And they did get it fixed, though they didn't address the fact that there were problems. And in fact, in their particular post about the day of the opening game of the Algarve Cup, there were all those rather upset comments. They weren't like super harsh, but they were these concerned fans that they had an allotted amount of time in their day to watch this match tracker, and then nothing happened and no one addressed it. And then the next day, all those comments were gone.
Because you know, all of those concerned fans realized the error of their ways and deleted those comments.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, because I know
each one of them individually.
Individually, and yeah, I just think if you're going to be, I meant to write a post about this, but if you're going to be on the internet writing things, you have to have a little bit of tolerance for what people are going to say, especially when you mess up.
Especially when you're supposed to be a professional PR person. You have to be able to take a little bit of flack.
Yeah. So that was the Algarve Cup, and the U.S. won, and it was good to see. They won handily against Germany. That's really good, though it's not really indicative of anything that's going to happen next year.
Oh, what's next year?
Because we won the Algarve Cup a bunch of times before, you know, in particular, 2005 and 2006? I think we tied in 2006, and then just laid a big old turd in 2007. And so, you know, we'll take it as, you know, Pia trying some new players, a few new players, and seeing that. And that's...
At the same time, I don't think Pia's going to say Nicole Barnhart has a better record against any team than Hope Solo does.
Yeah. Somehow we're going to skip that particular nightmare. Okay. So, the Cyprus Cup. Finish up, and you want to talk a little bit about Cyprus Cup? You followed that a little more closely than I was able to.
Yeah, because they actually, Canada gave live updates. They're having a little bit of trouble grasping the concept of Twitter, but they're at least trying. They don't really have match tracker quality set up on their website. Not that match tracker is huge quality. So they had the Twitter thing going on, and Canada did pretty well against some teams that don't necessarily get invited to Algarve. And some people have criticized this and have said that you can't really measure Canada's success at Cyprus as real successes because it's not against the big players. But they beat England, who's they've been doing pretty well, and they beat New Zealand, who is a minnow team, but they've been improving. They since Australia has moved to a different conference, New Zealand has been getting more opportunities on bigger stages, and Canada took care of their competition, and considering that they're getting settled in with a new coach and a new system, and they've had injuries to deal with, I think this is good for Canada. I think it's a good sign, and they just have to, you know, continue to take steps. I don't think that you necessarily want to dismiss what they were able to do there.
Yeah, no, and it's mostly, like, I look at it as they were very consistent, fairly consistent, which is good. It's really good for them, for their, you know, relatively new coach, still a young team, Canada, I think. Christine Sinclair has been there forever, but she's still, 17, you know? No, she's young. She's a baby. No.
The Canadians have always been a young team, it seems like.
I know. Is it... Maybe they're like the Twilight vampires, and they're just always, you know, young, pretty...
Sparkly.
They sparkle.
Broody.
They sparkle. They can't seem to win a whole lot, though. That's the next step. Next step.
They just need a good soundtrack and some decent movies.
One of them has to slouch a lot and complain and cry. I don't know.
Kara's not back yet.
Oh. That's right. Kara Lang. Kara Lang can take care of that. We're gonna cut that out though.
Oh, are you gonna leave Twilight in?
I'm gonna leave Twilight in. Okay. So the U.S. is going to play Mexico at the end of this month a couple times, as they do pretty much every year. Mexico's always up for it, though. Didn't their U-20s get second in the qualifying, CONCACAF qualifying?
Oh, yes, they did.
They did. So, I mean, that's a good sign for Mexico's development. It's really exciting. But I don't know really what the senior team looks like anymore, because I don't really recognize many of their players. I'm ashamed.
And they don't release rosters, so.
Yeah, and they don't release rosters. I'm not sure if they still have the same coach. I will find all these things out in just a matter of weeks, a few short weeks. But the roster was released. Pia's college, and this is not training camp. This is for the games, and that makes it really interesting because there are a number of young players and a number of less young players called up.
Less young. That's so diplomatic and delicate. You want to expand on that?
Well, the young players, like, just in every position, except, I guess, well, goalkeepers, they're still Lloyden. But in every position, defenders, like Brittany Taylor got called up, Whitney Engen. These are, like, people who just got drafted, really new. In the midfield, more known quantities there in the midfield. Forwards, Lauren Cheney again, Casey Nogueira. And then Kelly O'Hara and Alex Morgan, who have been proven on, you know, youth teams to be like, and their college teams to be really, really great. But it's mildly surprising that they're getting. It's not surprising, but it's promising. I should say it's promising that these young players are getting called up for these games, which are good. Granted, they're on home soil and they're guaranteed wins. Let's just say it, but. But it's always good to have those younger players get that experience.
Do you feel like the younger players are guaranteed to get capped?
No, is also good in a way because they're not just given the caps. Even though Pia is the type of person to not just bring someone to just, you know, string them along and give them a paycheck or something. She doesn't seem like that type of coach. Okay, so that's the young players. And she also called up Christine Lilly, which I think is really interesting considering it seemed like Christine Lilly's time with the national team was done. And we had a discussion about this, about some of the older players not retiring from the national team yet continuing to play on club teams. And I personally had thought, okay, so maybe this is a sign Christine Lilly's going to do that. She's going to say, my time with the national team has, you know, come to an end. I'm gonna let the younger generation sort of take that on.
Right, especially since, and we also had this discussion that it's been said that she wasn't going to be on the next World Cup squad. She wasn't part of future plans.
Right. Yeah, she said in 2007 that was going to be her last World Cup. And that's all the indications that everyone else was making, too. But on her personal blog, on her website, it's ChristineLilly13.com, I think, she seems to be very excited about getting this national team call-up, and she's not making the indication that she's going to retire. And I wonder if maybe this is the time for Pia to tell her that she's going to retire from the national team. Or something. Because, I mean, it would be a shame for her to just say, I'm done now. I'm not going to say goodbye. It would be wonderful to see her in the U.S. uniform wearing 13 again just a few more times before, you know, she says goodbye. And I think that would be a nice little closing, even though, you know, it's against Mexico, whatever, San Diego, and then Utah. I mean, still it's nice. It's nice pictures you have for your website that are probably going to go away once you do a redesign next year. I thought maybe that was the way it was going to progress, but I don't know.
It would be nice if she could do it like Mia and Foudy, you know, rather than like Brandy.
Right. Right, exactly. Pretty much exactly. So do you have any thoughts on the Mexico roster? You want to say anything about those players that you are a little more familiar with?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to jinx anything. I feel like, well, these are interesting call-ups. I think the Engen call-up is really interesting. But I don't have any opinion on that. You know, good for the back line, I guess. And I guess I'm more focused on the forwards at this point, Alex Morgan and Kelly O'Hara. I don't really think that Alex Morgan is ready to play at this level. I don't necessarily think that Kelly O'Hara is either. But I feel like Alex Morgan needs a little more development.
She's not quite there yet.
Like Cal struggled last season. Alex did her part as well as she could, but it seemed like she was not getting support from the midfield. I guess they had injuries that could have impacted that, could have made things hard for Morgan. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how she does in Pia's system, if she even stays at forward.
Yeah, and I don't know. I look at Alex Morgan and I see someone who's playing at a high level for her team. She's at a higher level than the rest of her team. If she were on a different college team, that might not be the case. But as it is,
well, I don't really know about that, because I mean I watched the under 20 team in 2008, and she was surprisingly good. And those are some high level players.
No, I'm talking about Cal.
Well, right. Sorry, I just meant based on you saying that she might not necessarily be the same kind of player on a different team.
No, I was saying that she would be at a high, like the rest of the players around her would be at the same level.
Oh,
if she were on a different team, is what I'm trying to say. But then I look at the rest of those forwards, Lauren Cheney, Casey Nogueira, Abby Wambach. She's not quite at their level.
Yeah, she can't take hits.
Yeah,
she really can't. She has.
She wobbles and she falls down.
She does. She's kind of fragile. I worry about her.
Yeah, fragile. So that's the roster, and are any of those games going to be on TV? I don't know.
Maybe, but I won't get to see them.
Yes, ESPN2, the one in Utah, and then Fox Soccer Channel for the one in San Diego. That'll be interesting. I'll try to catch those, though. I'm busy. Like, I'm an adult now. It totally sucks. Done with the national team business. So let's talk a little bit about the WPS preseason. Some preseason games have been played. Most notably, I guess, for me, would be Chicago Red Stars and Washington Freedom playing in Florida, which all the WPS teams are in Florida, which I it seems dangerous. It's like when the president gives the State of the Union address, and then everybody except for like one congressperson is in the Capitol building, because what if a disaster happens? Then we still have one. So they should take some players out of Florida just in case something happens.
Well, I think there are three teams that aren't down there. Gold Pride's not down there.
Boston isn't, right? I think Boston's still in Boston.
They might be. Okay, so there's four. St. Louis is in St. Louis. And I think Philadelphia stayed up north, which is weird because they still have snow on their practice fields. So best of luck with that.
Yeah. Makes them tough. Yeah. No. Okay, so... So preseason, I guess let's first talk about the moves. So Chicago Red Stars, the move that happened after we recorded was they signed Formiga, the Brazilian midfielder who FC Gold Pride let go. And I don't know really how to feel about that, because it just feels like, okay, so here's another quote-unquote a creative attacking player. That's fabulous, and it's just what I was fearing at the beginning of this year, where it's like, let's just have the other team run at our back for half an hour, 45 minutes, I don't know, both halves. and with a young, kind of young defense, that's something that concerns me. And as much as I love a creative attacking style, I also like winning.
Because you're not me.
And, yeah, I enjoy the winning. And if the other team scores more than you, guess what? You don't win. So, like, I don't know if anybody, just to let you all on a little secret, you know, you have to score more than them or make sure they don't score. But in that line, a good thing is Kate Markgraf seems to be back in form, or reports are that she's doing very well. She's playing. She played, I don't know how much of the preseason game against DC, which is great. I'm a big Kate Markgraf fan. I'm so glad she's back. But on the other side of that coin, they let Igwe go. Choma Igwe? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Choma
Igwe. They let her go, which she wasn't a huge, huge contributor last year, but she was a substitute in many games, and
She was a defender, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, defender. So, I mean, there were at least three Bronco defenders, I think, that Chicago had, which, I mean, yeah, Broncos are injury prone, but I love the way they set up a back line. Those are solid defenders, and they're not afraid to knock you down.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, and now we have Whitney Ingen, so, and that's good. She's a pretty strong defender. That's good. So we have something with the defense. It's just putting all those together. It's just going to be a nightmare. I foresee a really rough start to this season.
Be like Sky Blue had last year, you know, really rough early half of the season, and then pull it together in the end.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
Well, it would be better than what Chicago did last year, which was they looked really good to start.
Anything could be better. But they lost. They lost a lot. I can't say a lot because there wasn't much that made us successful last year. They lost Tarpley. So
lost
there
Tarpley,
you go.
Lost Krizik.
Lost Krizik. Yeah. And of course, Janssen gone. So we talked about that already, though. But why don't we talk about happier things? FC Gold Pride. Take it away.
FC Gold Pride. Well, they haven't made many cuts yet. They cut Mandy Maraca, who, I don't know, she played for UNC. Do you know anything about her?
No, that sounds like a doll or a pop star. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a real player. I think that's like, you know, is that one of Hillary Duff's friends? I don't, like, Mandy Maraca.
Wow, I'm really surprised that FC Gold Pride had the foresight to let her go then. Also let go of Leah Tapscott, which I guess was maybe kind of surprising for me, because she played with Pally Blues. But Pally Blues is excellent in the W League, and well, I mean, last year it didn't necessarily translate to success for those players at the WPS level, but I think they're really promising players. So either another WPS team is going to pick her up, or I could see her back in the W League. I mean, we don't have any other cuts, which is nice, but we also don't necessarily have, geez, this roster. I mean, it's still Island of Misfit Toys, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, they are the Island of Misfit Toys. And Marta is there. that's unrelated. They're curious. So many things could happen there. And it feels like so, and the way it looks, so many things are going to happen
right,
there.
Good or bad.
Good or bad, yeah. Okay, so we could talk a little bit about one of your favorite players and what happened to her at Sky Blue FC. They cut Carrie Hanks, who won, you know, Mac Herman Award, the very good forward.
Oh, she won two.
Two Mac Herman Awards. Didn't manage to win a national championship. Put on some Meryl Streep-like performances. but at the same time, it's a little confusing. Maybe they're making room for somebody. Who are they making room for? I don't. She was healthy, right? She's healthy, healthier than Kai.
So far as I know, she's healthy. I mean, I look at this the way, like, if you look at the expansion draft, Sky Blue FC lost Jen Buzkowski and Noelle Keselika. If Noelle Keselika is taken before Carrie Hanks, it's because Carrie Hanks is protected. I don't know. We didn't hear much about her in the off season. You know, she must have been healthy. She was there for the very first week of camp, which to me seemed like a sudden warning that, you know, she might be one of those that they're going to cut because that wasn't a mandatory week. And I know there were other players there too, like Casey White. They're not going to cut Casey White. But Hanks was one of those bench players that I don't think was there long enough to make enough of an impact for them to keep her. So I guess this wasn't really surprising. Doesn't make it any less upsetting.
Yeah, I have my own opinions about Carrie Hanks, which you know, I guess I could just say them, and it's just that I feel like I saw this at the youth national team level. She doesn't care. She did not care about any other team besides her college team. Like when
which
she,
I think is the nicest thing you've ever said about her.
It probably is, but that's a flaw. It's like there was a few years ago when she was still in college, she refused to go on. She got a youth national team call, but didn't go because she wanted to stay with her college team or whatever. And people remembered that, and she didn't get, you know, full national team call ups, and she sort of complained about that. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're not going to take the youth national team call ups when they come, it's like, don't start whining.
But at the same time, look at where she was in 2004 when Notre Dame won College Cup.
Where was she?
Oh, wait, was that 2004 or 2000? Yeah, it was 2004. She was in Thailand.
That's true, but after that, she decided, I mean, it's not something that I understand. It's not quite, I mean, I guess I can understand it, but I don't understand the complaining about not getting national team call-ups when you don't show the same sort of passion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't argue against that. She's a little bit entitled.
I'm going to get on a sort of thing where I think that she needs a team to be constantly kissing her butt in order to care about it. And, you know, no one on the WPS is going to do that. A national team is not going to do that unless you're an Abby Wambach or you're a Hope Solo. And I'm sorry, Carrie Hanks is neither of those. So
yeah, definitely not.
But, I mean, there's no denying her incredible amount of talent. But I don't know exactly what it takes to motivate her. Like, I can see parts of her problem in Casey Nogueira, but Anson Dorrance could definitely motivate her. I think Casey Nogueira needed a UNC more than UNC needed her. And as much as, you know, I don't particularly care for UNC, I don't hate them or anything. They're not my team, but that was something that worked for her, and it was a good choice for her. I don't know if that would have been a good choice for Carrie Hanks, but she needs someone to kick her butt sometimes, I think, if she's not going to care about a team.
Well, I'm kind of hoping, because when she was first cut, we had speculated, you know, who might pick her up next, because clearly Sky Blue FC cut her so that someone else could pick her up in the preseason, so that she could be on a roster, try to make a roster somewhere else. And we had speculated that maybe Philly would take her, maybe Chicago would, maybe FC Gold Pride would take her, because apparently they just want to stock up on forwards. And it turned out that Philly took her. which I think is good because, I mean, she played with Jen Buskowski, and she played with her at Notre Dame. She played with Sky Blue FC. So, I mean, I hope that will help her, to make the transition, to play with players that are, you know, also looking for a place.
Yeah. Okay. So, we could also talk a little bit about Atlanta. They haven't yet signed Tobin Heath, though she was the number one draft pick.
Or at least they haven't announced that they signed her.
Or they haven't announced that they signed her. So I don't understand why you wouldn't if she's, you know, all your advertising. For some people, it might not make sense that what you already drafted her and now you're signing her. It doesn't make sense. But they haven't announced that, and so it's a little confusing.
Whereas other teams have announced it with other draft picks.
Yeah, Chicago just today announced it with Whitney Engen. And Sky Blue FC announced it with Brittany Taylor. So it's they really, really announced it. And
over and over again.
No, they just kept announcing it. Gosh. I'm sure she deserves it. I'm sure she's a lovely girl. But Atlanta has already had two season-ending knee injuries. Manya McCoskey and Noelle Keselica. I still want to say Keselica.
We could say anything. No one's going to know who we're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's true. and that breaks my heart because I know Manya is a player that we both like. She brings a lot to a team, maybe not in terms of, like, skill and lots of goal scoring, but she's...
Intangibles.
She's got that American stick-to-itiveness and synergy. Yeah, that sort of thing. but they signed Christine Latham.
I guess so. The Canadian.
One of the Canadians. One of the sparkly ones.
I don't know. I'm not sure she's been called back to the national team, even though they have a new coach now.
She's getting too old. No.
She knows how to retire.
Yeah, she knows. So that for Atlanta.
Right, and that makes sense because she played in Atlanta for the W League team, Silverbacks. So
yeah.
There's that connection.
Yeah. Okay. And so Philadelphia, they obviously got Kerry Hanks. We talked about that.
Has anyone else done anything?
I don't know. Okay, I guess we can make the season predictions. And okay, so DC and Chicago played. DC won 2-1. Sarah Hoffman scored, which is great. Great to see Sarah Hoffman back from her knee injury.
Yay
for Huffy.
I think she scored in their first exhibition game too.
Oh.
But I can't remember exactly.
They did play against the U23s and the US U23s and did fairly well. But I think that game just sort of underscores how I felt about what's going to happen at the beginning of the season, and that's that DC is going to have the strongest start. I don't know about the middle or the end, but
it depends on if they get Krieger.
Yeah, that. But as I have said, it's they lost nothing really significant from what gave them what success they had last year. They still have all those really major pieces. They did lose Lori Lindsay, but which is not to say that she wasn't a significant contributor, but she wasn't a Divana, she wasn't a Bompa Store, she wasn't a Aaron McLeod.
I mean, she wasn't necessarily utilized well. You remember the W League game we went to see in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
And she was just, I mean, she was the workhorse in the middle. She was leadership. She was all of that. And there wasn't room for that on the WPS team in Washington last year.
That's true.
Not with all those big names. And maybe she can get that in Philadelphia.
She was head and shoulders above everybody on that game that we saw in the W League. But so that's my preseason prediction, is that DC's going to have the strongest start. Chicago's just, I don't know if they're going to make me cry. They're just going to make me angry. But we'll see. We'll see. Get some stuff sorted out. But that's how I feel about the beginning of the season. How about you?
I don't know. Well, I missed St. Louis preseason game against U of I today. St. Louis, I think, they're saying that they're going to have their full roster cut down by the first cutoff date, I think. Which, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, personnel choices aside, I think that if they do that, that's a really good chance for them to spend the entire preseason practicing as the team they want to be. So I think St. Louis, if they make the right choices, could be a solid team throughout the year.
Yeah, even though they're missing, I predict they're gonna lose Lori Kolubny for the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there.
But they did get the shutout against University of Illinois with both KJ Spisak and Ashlyn Harris in goal.
Wow.
So not Hope Solo, though. So strange.
Well, they need to figure out which of those keepers is going to be the backup.
Who's going to play second fiddle? No.
You know, if she plays at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good preseason thoughts. And so that about wraps it up for this discussion. What I would like to do, since we're kind of thought leaders in the space around women's soccer, social media, and people really look to us to see, you know, who are the vanguards, who are the linchpins in this area. I want to try and point out each month which player on Twitter is doing the best job.
Each month or each podcast?
Each podcast, I'm sorry. So we said we'd do this podcast monthly. It's maybe going to be a little bit more frequent. But
hopefully.
Yeah, I just like to point out one player each podcast who I think is really just being a standout representative
and
for the league.
And you're going to let me offer my opinion too, but you're just not going to listen to it.
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm right.
Yes.
You're important to me and everything, but you know, I'm right. No.
I'll defer to
no,
your
you
experience.
Can, you can. Vote. You can. Well, since I just decided to tell you this half an hour ago, you can pick the next one if you want. But
we'll vote.
So this month, this podcast, I'd really like to point out a player who I think has done a lot in the Twitter space in terms of tweeting relevant, really important facts about herself, about the game, about the league, about the importance of women's athletics.
And coherently.
Coherently, really using this medium as a both communication tool and really a platform to say what she feels about the beautiful game, and that player is Boston Breakers forward Tiffany Weimer.
Are you gonna add a drum roll?
We're gonna hush. I think she's really done a lot, and she had a maybe sort of a rough season in the Bay Area, but I think she can find great success on the field in Boston. But I'd just like to take some time and point out a few choice tweets. this one from March 4th. Leslie Osborne has promised for every follower she receives, she will donate $1 to the Tiffany Weimer Bank Account Foundation.
Do you want to include Leslie Osborne's response?
Yeah. No, I don't. This tweet from February 25th. What time is it? Time for Manya to lose in the CFC co-ed indoor final. That's what time it is. And there's just so many. There's so many reasons why Tiffany Weimer is winning this award for best Twitter WPS player. Or the best WPS player tweeter?
I guess, maybe.
Tweeter
She's
player,
also
so.
Their best blogger for a long time. WPS or WPSL or youth national team. She's written for all of them, and I think that's been really key to, you know, how interested I've been in the game. Even though those aren't like, I mean, the youth national teams and the WPSL aren't big stages. The fact that a player is gonna take the time and their college degree to write about what they like to do and to reach out on that level, like that's been really great, and it's been a really great way to follow a player through the ranks.
That's very true. So in addition to giving her this award, it's really, really, we really want to call out all the other players on Twitter to really, you know what, step up your game, because this is the award.
This is a jab at Rapinoe.
This is the award that award winners want to get. You know, this is serious business. It isn't that pointed at anyone.
So Tiffany Weimer gets the inaugural WPS cross conference podcast social media award.
She does. She wins.
And she didn't play for the LA Soul.
Nope. So that's the end of this episode. Ruth, where can people find you?
They can find me at Kelsey's Pajamas on Twitter.
Fabulous. And people can find me. I'm at Joan of Dark on Twitter. So, and the people, don't be afraid to contact us and let us know how we're doing. Let us know who you think should win our prestigious award. We'll take it under consideration, but please note that I am right. And that's always something that's going to be at the forefront of our minds. And, well, my mind, anyway.
And since you edit the podcast, that's how it'll
go. Yeah, that's what's going to be important. But, thank you all for listening. Ruth, do you have anything to say to our tens of listeners?
I'm just thrilled that we have tens of listeners now. I didn't think anyone was, I mean, obviously we have a lot of important stuff to say that other people aren't saying, and so, you know, I didn't know that people would want to listen to that. So, yay, tens of listeners. I love you all.
Yes, and none of them are people related to
us. Or people that we know, because nobody has told us that they've subscribed.
Yeah, a little shy. This is, but
we love you.
We hope to keep going. So, that's the end of our show. That's it for the cross-conference cast for now. I'm sorry that a lot of the moves in the WPS we talked about are now outdated, but we'll try to be a little bit better next time. Don't forget to visit our blog, crossconference.wordpress.com, and email us, crossconference@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.